Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Barry. Before I share the word, I just wanted to say Barry and I had an amazing and beautiful ride through God's creation, the Kananaskis Mountains, yesterday on our motorcycles. Barry may have broken the speed limit a couple of times, I don't know, but we did have fun. Good ride, good company. So thank you. Thank you for that, Barry. Yeah. And thank you to the worship team. Some great songs you chose today. Just loved it. Before I start, I'll just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, that we have an opportunity to share your word. I thank you, God, that it is your words that I speak and not my own. I thank you for your scripture that we will share today. And I thank you, God, that it touches the hearts and transforms people today as they hear your word, Lord. We thank you, God, that ears are open to receive your word and that hearts are open to receive your word, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. Those are great, great lyrics from the song that was sung today. And I just want to also just mention a couple things. Tara talked about her mom being having her first week of chemo. It went amazingly well. And I also just want to pray healing for not only Iris, but for my good friend, Dave Sargent, who is watching today and is having a challenge as he battles cancer as well. So I pray for him, and I also pray for Robin, who I know has had some health challenges. So I thank you, God, for placing your healing hand on them. We pray that you heal them physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, Lord. We just thank you, God. And I also just want to say a quick hello to a few friends of mine that are in BC and my family that is in San Diego. I want to say hello to them, to my good friend Ken, and also to Dave Sargent, who is watching from his hospital bed today, and another good friend of ours, John, who is praying for Dave as well alongside with me. So hello to all of you, and thank you for joining us. My title of my sermon today is The Times Are Changing. This next generation needs us to share the truth with them, God's truth. Our generation, this next generation, they need us. As parents, we are the hope for our children. They need us more than ever to share the truth of God's word with them. Our kids are being bombarded with an unending flow of agendas, ideology, mandates, information, doctrines, and untruths. It seems that truth has become malleable, subjective, and personal, and we are advised to be more tolerant of people's personal truths. But the Bible tells us in John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible also tells us in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've got lots of scripture today, but I won't be reading through all of it. I'll just reference some of it for you. But our government, our educational systems, and even some churches are supporting narratives that are not aligned with the true Word of God. We know the only truth is found in God and His Word. Today, our focus is going to be on that, on God's truth. We're not going to talk about anything else but God's truth. And it's amazing that in an ever-changing world, God's word never changes. Because it is the truth. It is perfect and timeless. And the Bible also tells us heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. That's in Matthew 24. God's word will never pass away, but the earth will pass away. It's timeless. Finely crafted messages are flooding all mass communication channels today that numb us and desensitize us to the ways of the world and the untruths of the world. But Psalm 78:4 says, we will not hide these truths from our children, the next generation. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Our kids have in their hands today this piece of technology that gives them access to just about anything that they want to view. And this little device has become an addiction for not only children, but for many adults. The difference being that our kids' minds are vulnerable to the untruths that are being sent out to them on a daily and sort of hour-by-hour basis. And, you know, the communication that is sent out is packaged like it's truth. So it's hard to go through that and try to figure out what it really is. But studies have shown that our phones have become so addictive, it has been compared to the strong addiction experienced by heroin addicts and even more addictive than alcoholism and smokers. There's a separation anxiety that occurs when someone forgets their phone that they have to turn around, even on their way to work or school, that they have to go back and get it. They feel so attached to it. And, you know, all too often you'll be out and you'll see families together and everyone is on their phones. And they're doing things called social media, which almost seems antisocial. You're not present in the moment. There's a fear of missing out because you're not with your friends, but you're connected through that phone. I've got nothing against technology because we've seen technology being used to share the Word of God, to encourage people through a daily verse, a daily scripture, daily prayer. So there's some really good things as well that comes along with that. But with the popularity of smartphones, there's a new ailment that has developed, primarily in kids, known as text neck, because they're constantly hunched over, and more children are suffering from neck and back problems known as text neck. Because of time spent on phones, tablets, and other devices, a pediatric orthopedic surgeon says, it can cause slouching and pain and long-term effects on physical growth and developments are unknown. But Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social media apps are all battling for the minds of our kids, spreading popular worldly untruths. TV is another medium and another influencer where we see TV programming and TV commercials even are spreading anti-biblical views and untruths. Our kids are bombarded with lies, and we need to focus on God's truth. Our kids are under spiritual attack is what they're under, with worldly views and untruths. We are racing away from God and his truths, and it's time that we as parents recognize that and that we step up and we share the Word of God with our kids. 2 Peter 2 verse 1 says this, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies and even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many churches now have ministers who preach another gospel, and Barry said we have a book out there that talks about progressive Christianity. That message is alive and well in the church today. So we need to recognize that. What is happening is that people are conforming the Word of God to their lives instead of the conforming to the Word of God. And 2 Timothy 3 says this, but know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. We have got to be in their lives. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Does that not reflect the world that we live in today? The father of lies, the devil, and you know, I just realized something the other day, probably everybody else knows this, but evil, devil. But the father of lies is deceiving the world. And he's trying to steal the minds of our children through popular culture, social media, movies, and technology. The only power that the devil has, really, is to lie. He lies to you. But if you know the truth of God's word, he cannot lie to you. And it's the opposite of who God is. He is truth and love. Jesus tells us in John 10:10, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. If we know Jesus, we will know the truth. We need to be ready with the truth of God's word to respond to the world of today. We need to be ready to ensure our kids do not fall into the trap of the worldly view, the popular view, the politically correct view, and recognize what is God's truth. How do we do that? Well, it's through God's word. It's through the Bible, by reading the Bible. We need to help our kids see the world through the lens of God so that they will know what is right, what is wrong, what is biblical, what is unbiblical, what is godly, what is ungodly, what is true and what is untrue. It is the truth of God's word which is infallible and undeniable, and we need to be armed with the word. Now, armed sounds like we're going into battle, and you know, we are. We're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. Our kids are in a spiritual war. And our weapon is the full knowledge and understanding of the Word of God and His truth. Be prepared to guide and mentor and instruct. Do this by reading our Bible. You know, Brian Egbers preached a little while ago and he talked about reading your Bible. John Fleck talked about reading your Bible when he preached. Shauna talked about reading your Bible. Barry always talks about reading the Bible. And I want to add my name to the list. I want to encourage you to read your Bible so that we know and can share with our kids what is God's truth. Pastor Barry said something one time that really resonated with me. He says, we get to choose what we believe, but we don't get to choose what is true. God's word is true. I absolutely love that saying. We don't get to choose what is true. God's word is true. The devil is scheming. He's a schemer. And the children of this generation of mass communication is his target. And he can deceive en masse right now because of the technology in our children's hands. He's flooding the airwaves with kilobytes, megabytes, gigabytes, terabytes, and binary code that travel the airwaves. His lies are spreading very quickly. The devil is actually using the airwaves. And it's ironic that Scripture calls Satan the prince of power of the air. That's in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God. I'm not going to read through all of that because there's a lot of Scripture. But it says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And the way we do that is with the belt of truth. And the belt and the word of God is a sword. We need to know Scripture in order to help this next generation, in order to be ready, in order to be prepared. We need to be ready to share the good news of the gospel of peace that brings eternal life to anyone who receives it. And it talks about sharing the word fearlessly, but I'm going to add to that word fearlessly with love. We need to share the gospel of Jesus with love. Boldness, but always with love. You know, it is said that we fight fire with fire, but I say we fight fire with water because water calms, it diffuses, it eliminates, it cools, it subdues the fire. Love does the same and sets the tone for sharing the Word of God. It diffuses, it calms, it sets the stage, it subdues, it cools. You know, God is love. He is all about love. If He wasn't, He wouldn't be pursuing us to forgive us even though we are sinners. The last thing that I want to do is push people away from God because of my actions or because I come across like a prideful, spiritual, modern-day Pharisee who lacks discernment in sharing the gospel. That attitude and behavior is not reflecting God. We need to reflect love when we share the word. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The gospel must be applied with love, or it becomes meaningless or even destructive. 1 Corinthians 13:1 also says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. We are just simply noise. People want to drown out noise. They don't want to hear noise. They want to hear love. They want to feel love. They want to feel like they're accepted. The reason God's word resonates with us because it is filled with love and also with truth. And I've come to realize that when I use my words, I fail. But when I use scripture, that is what grabs the attention of people, because scripture has power. It is God's word. And I really don't want to tell people what to do, but I want to reflect the love of God in what I do. Our actions must speak louder than our words. And God is an example for us. God is powerful but not forceful. We don't have to be forceful. God's word is powerful. God spoke everything into existence. That's how powerful his word is. He spoke and everything came into existence. That is power. Wielding the word of God is powerful. So let's wield the word of God. There's nothing more powerful or more truthful than speaking the word of God. The Bible tells us Jesus is the word and the truth. And being pushy does exactly that. It pushes people away. It doesn't bring them to you. It pushes them away. And we don't want to do that. We want to reflect God in everything we do. We need to be ready to encounter, engage, encourage, and help our kids, this next generation, and everyone lost in their personal truths. I don't want people to know my personal truth or you know, it's God's personal truth that we need to share. We will do it by being led by the word of God in boldness and in love, without compromising the true word of God. Never do we want to compromise the word of God. Will it be difficult? Yes, I expect it will be. And we are well into an era where people's truths and disagreeing with their truths is seen as hateful. And I say it again, will it be difficult? Yes, it will. But we need to navigate through this in a way that brings people to God. We need to look to God, and God will help us to navigate these hot button topics of today. We need to be ready and be ready to deal with the sensitive issues in a way that reflects God and his love. Barry, as he mentioned, he has some books out there, but there's some very good Christian authors out there writing about how to engage on the current hot button topics, and he'll be speaking about those books in the future. But we really do need to know the topics, how to engage on the topics, and how to effectively use the Word of God in these situations. And Brian has talked about this before. He says, like the sons of Issachar, we need to understand the times. We need to be aware of what is happening in our schools, our government, our workplaces, our communities, but most importantly, in our homes and specifically with our children. We need to know. We need to be connected with them. This next generation are being bombarded with untruths, and they're going to have lots of questions. And they're going to be confused by the worldly views that are saturating every communication. So we need to be ready. They may even be tempted to by the glorified ways of the world that says your personal truth is the way to go. That is why we need to know Scripture, so that we can share God's truth. Because God has a plan not to harm us, but to see us succeed. Matthew 4:1-11. I'm only going to read the first couple pieces of this, Omotara, so I apologize if you've got it up on the screen. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil is trying to tempt Jesus. He's trying to tempt the world right now. Temptation is rampant in our society today. You need this, materialism. You need to look like this, hedonism. You need to social media this, egoism. Satan appeared to Jesus and tried to tempt him towards sin, including hedonism, egoism, and materialism. John the Evangelist categorized these temptations as lust of the eyes, materialism, lust of the body, hedonism, and pride of life, egoism. Jesus refused each temptation because he knew it is written. And these distractions can take us away from God, steal your time away from God, and separate us from God. And you know, the amazing thing is that I am not shocked by the ways of the world and the lifestyle choices today. We knew that was going to come. It's in the Bible. It tells us exactly where we are today. But what I do want to offer is an alternative lifestyle through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and through the truth of God's word. We need to be ready to quote, "It is written," which is what Jesus said when he was being tempted by the devil. We need to be ready to say "it is written" and share the word with this next generation, ourselves, our friends, our neighbors, and anyone that needs to hear the word of God. We have to be the Bible they read. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." People need to hear the word of God. Many people have come to know Jesus and know God because they've heard someone speak. They've heard, Billy Graham. They've heard a famous preacher speaking the word of God, and that's how they came to know God. We need to be able to share the word of God and speak it out. And according to Isaiah 55:11, God's word will not return void and will accomplish what he desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. God just needs us to speak his word. If we put it out there, it's not going to return void. When someone wants to share their worldly view with our children and this next generation, be prepared to share scripture that shows God's love for them. And we all know these scriptures. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's true. That's God's truth. Share scripture that shows God's desire to have relationship with them. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." That's God's truth. 1 John 1:3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." God's truth. Share scripture that shows God's desire to bless them. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God's truth. Deuteronomy 28. "All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb," our children, the next generation, will be blessed. That's God's truth. You can also share scripture that shows God's desire to forgive them. John 3:17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world through him." That's God's truth. God loves everybody. He's wanting to spend eternity with them. God wants to spend eternity with all of us. John 14:2-3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's God's truth. And this, most importantly, share scripture that shows God's desire for all to come to salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's God's truth. He wants all to repent of their sins and come to him so that he can have eternity with them. Our kids need us. They need us to be prepared with the true word of God. They need us to be fully prepared with the word of God and also prayed up. Prayer is incredibly powerful. It is our Christian duty to try to rescue those who are in danger of physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. We must not fail to tell others about Christ, especially our next generation. Pray for our children to be of sound mind and to be able to hear the voice of God so that they know what is truth, that they recognize God's truth. My wife, Tara's parents, prayed for her. She was the next generation. When she was living in Australia, when she was not walking with the Lord. And their prayers had impact. God placed godly people and counsel in front of her. And it changed the course of her life. And she aligned with God. Indirectly, I believe their prayers covered me as well. I was a byproduct of God working all things together for His good, for those who love God, and to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. He blessed me with a wonderful wife and spiritual partner, who we both thank for bringing us together. I know He has a plan for both of us as a couple and individuals, a plan for us to do His will, to share His word, to reflect His Son and His love. And we are called to love much because we have been forgiven much. God has a plan for each one of us. Let Him guide you. Let Him prepare you. Let Him bless you. Let Him use you. And I can tell you, prayers do work. Tara and I prayed for my daughter, the next generation. My daughter Mariah was seeking spirituality and was exploring different types of spiritual experiences. Tara and I prayed for her to find God. Miraculously, one day she was driving by a church. She was about 17 or 18 years old, and she felt this overwhelming desire to go and drive into the parking lot and go into the church. She went in, and there was an administration assistant there, and she said, "Can I help you?" And she says, "I think I'm supposed to talk to someone." And she said, "Okay, I'll grab the pastor." So she went and grabbed the pastor, and my daughter Mariah and the pastor spoke for a couple hours. Then Mariah started to attend the church. And after attending the church for a couple of months, she accepted Christ. And then she started writing worship music, and she just started to fill her life with the things of God. And I'm so thankful. She then called us up one day and said, "Dad, I'm going to get baptized." And, you know, I thought, I've never been baptized since I've accepted Christ. So I said, "Mariah, can I come and do that with you?" So I went to Vancouver Island, where she lives, and we got baptized together and declared our newness of life in Jesus Christ, publicly declared that. And what a wonderful day that was. I'm so thankful. And that God answered prayers for that next generation. I quite often read a website called Bible Resources, and it had this to say. It says, "Many societies are suffering the consequences of young men being raised without a father figure. These young men are dysfunctional and others are aimless." Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." This means that children should not tear down the parameters that their fathers have set. Fathers know from experience many things are harmful, as well as what will and will not work. This obviously applies to mothers as well. Titus 2 verse 1 to 3 says, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good." I have two other children, Lara and Khalil, who I love very much. I was an absent father for years and did not have a relationship with them. I was not following the Lord, but I was following the temptations of the world and living a very immoral life. Thankfully, God is a God of restoration, and He is performing a miracle in my life right now in restoring a relationship that I had neglected. So I thank God that He is not only transformed my life, but is continuously performing miracles in my life. It is my hope and prayer that they come to know the Lord one day and will receive God's free gift of salvation. You know, the Bible tells us the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It says here in Ephesians 2, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone." You know, the reason many people are being deceived today is because they're embracing false doctrines, because they have failed to build on the doctrine of Christ, which He established through His apostles and prophets of old, as recorded in the Bible. Jude 1:17-22 says, "In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts that do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friend, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful, and I want to highlight this, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. How do we do that? By sharing the gospel. We are called to love all, and what greater love than to share Jesus and the gospel of truth? We are called to share it with all. And for the kids, 1 Peter 5:5 says this, In the same way you are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Exodus 20, verse 12 says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That's a promise from God to you, to the children. Honor your father and your mother. We want to do that. They're praying for us. Matthew 24, 32 to 34 says this. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. This is a very, very important generation. If we look at the Bible, we see where we are exactly. We are living in biblical times. I firmly believe we are living in end times. When that comes, I don't know, but it aligns with the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, read your Bible. We are this generation. It is near or at the doors. It is a critical time in the sense that it is even more important to be ready to share the Word and truth of God, to plant the seeds that could lead someone to God through Jesus. Again, I say our governments and schools, they're trying to have a lot of influence over our kids. And even sadly, some churches are supporting untruths, ungodly views, and unrighteous living. We need to pray for our leadership, our government, our prime minister. We need to continue to pray for anyone in leadership who has influence. And we pray for God to intervene and give them godly wisdom and discernment to recognize God's truth. We need to pray for a return to godly principles, decency, righteousness that built the Western culture and allowed us to flourish, that built Canada, that allowed it to flourish. You know, this is very important. We know we're all going to stand before Jesus one day. We want to make sure that we stand before Jesus not only as our judge, but as our Savior. We need to share the Word with this next generation. And you know, I get caught up in things sometimes. I may have views and opinions on politics and how it is affecting our culture and kids, but I felt the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't want you to have a political mandate. I want you to have a mandate to share about Jesus and to share the gospel. That's the mandate we need to have. We need to just keep looking to Jesus, keep looking to God. Jesus is with us. He's going to protect us. He's going to guide us. He's going to teach us. He's going to use us. So I don't want to have a political mandate. I don't want to get caught up in that. I want to have a mandate to share the Word of God and to share the gospel. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. The times, they may be a changing, but Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As I come to a close, I'm just going to say a prayer, and then I just want to say a couple things after that. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today for the restoration of the generation gap that exists. May the parents have your wisdom in dealing with their children. May the young men respect and honor the elders. Lord, convict parents to be the proper role models for their children and love their children with your love. Your disciplines are never done to destroy us, but to correct and turn us away from the things that are harming us. May the parents look to you as how to deal with their children. Lord, give the children and young men submissive spirit so they may heed their parents' good advice, and may they offer their strength to help their parents. And Lord, may we as parents be guided by your truthful word and be prepared to share your truthful word with this generation. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I finish, I just want to say, if you are here today or if you're listening online, and if God spoke to you today and you felt God's love, because God loves you, if he touched your heart, I ask you to make the commitment today to accept Jesus as your Savior. God has chosen you, and he wants you to choose him through his son Jesus. He's not going to force you. He's a loving God. But I can tell you this, he's chosen you already. The gospel requires a response, and I want to give you that opportunity today to be bold and to recognize that God is calling you and ask you to respond to God's calling. I just want to read this. It says in Romans 10, 9 to 13 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I ask you to call on the Lord today to be saved. If you are unsure that if you've accepted the Lord, if you've confessed with your mouth, if you want to rededicate yourself, if you want to encourage someone, I ask you to please say this prayer that I want to say in just a moment. This is a new beginning if you are saying this prayer today, if you're accepting Christ. The slate is wiped clean. You're forgiven. God wants to put you on a path that he has for you. God wants you to give you the gift of salvation. And the gospel, as I said, requires a response. Are you ready to respond to God today who is calling you? So I'm going to say this prayer, and I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. If you're at home, just say it out loud. Say it openly. Declare it. Do it with boldness. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that your Son Jesus died for me. I believe that he was resurrected from the dead. I believe that he took my sins upon himself, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask that you guide me all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If that is the first time that you have said this prayer, please tell someone. Call me, call Pastor Barry, call someone and let them know. As the Bible says in Luke 15, 10, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. And like the woman with the lost coin, the shepherd who lost one sheep, the father who lost his prodigal son, all rejoiced over the one that was lost. So it is with God and his angels. They are rejoicing over you. If I can ask the worship team to come up, please. So I just pray. I thank you. For those of you that are here today, and I thank you for those of you that are watching online, please reach out to someone if you accepted Christ today. We want to support you. We want to be with you. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to love you, and we want to be with you through this journey. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.